This week, US President Donald Trump named Australia, along with the UK, as an ally that he's disappointed in for not offering help with the US efforts to counteract Iran's effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And while Yemen's Houthis have joined the fight on Iran's side overnight, launching an attack on Israel, Iran also hasn't been overwhelmed by support from traditional associates China and Russia. They've offered only tepid support in the form of statements criticising the actions of America and Israel. The relationship between Russia and China is the focus of a new report from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute that comes out tomorrow. But senior ASPI fellow Dr. Raji Pillai Rajagopalan has very kindly agreed to talk about her report, which is titled The Sino-Russian Partnership, Why It Matters for Australian Security and Defence, with us here on Sunday Extra this morning. Welcome, Dr. Rajagopalan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, your report refers to a partnership between Russia and China. Are Russia and China allies of each other or for that matter, Iran?
Yes, absolutely. So they may not be the allies in the typical sense, at least the Western way of understanding what an ally would mean, what an alliance is, but their partnership is fairly strong. And even if you look at the current conflict in the Middle East, both countries are actually assisting Iran in a big way, going beyond political statements. China, for instance, is supplying Iran with chemical precursors for Iranian ballistic missile program. Russians are supplying with advanced drones, improved Shahid drones. That is number one. But more importantly, they are actually giving them an enormous amount of intel collaboration is happening, supplying specific information, targeting information to hit the U.S. military facilities in the Middle East. And actually, that's a very it's a strange thing because on one hand here the Russians are supplying ways to target the U.S. facilities in the Middle East, and on the Ukraine conflict, the U.S. is kind of working with Russia to see if there is a deal that can be made. So it's a very strange kind of coincidence out there, if you can say that.
Absolutely, yeah. There are all sorts of strange short-term measures being taken.
Yes.
What are the limiting factors in terms of the support that Russia and China might be either unwilling or unable to provide to Iran at the moment?
So they want to maintain their image as neutral parties and that they are not involved. So that's what they have been making those statements. Particularly, China has been making that they are not been doing engaged in any significant manner. But in addition to the political support, in addition to the things that I already talked about, they are also engaged in sanctions evading measures and therefore transporting huge number of dual use technologies that can go into military applications in Iran, but also the way China has been supplying dual-use technologies to Russia in the last 4 years now. I think that's been, again, China has emerged as the main decisive enabler of the Russian military operations in Ukraine. So that's, again, something that is we need to be mindful of, how they are both engaged in sanctions-evading measures and thereby transferring a number of dual-use technologies that can go into UAVs, and there are aerospace engines that the Russian and Chinese are supplying to Russia today. So a range of capability enhancement measures are being taken by both China and Russia in a significant manner. We may not see it always as a headline news, but they are engaged in these activities.
That's really interesting. And we've been focusing there on what's going into Iran in terms of support. It's become almost habitual in recent days to refer to the Strait of Hormuz as being closed. Right. What evidence is there in terms of the Sino-Russian relationship and connections with Iran? How much is coming out of Iran that is to Russia and China's benefit?
The Chinese have been able to get permission to get their shipments moving across Strait of Hormuz without any problem. Mm. In fact, it does seem like there is a command and control in place in Iran. So, and many countries have been able to engage the Iranian leadership, again, quote unquote, because we don't know who in leadership yes. they are talking to. So Japan has been able to engage the Iranian leadership. India has managed to talk to them. A number of these countries in the Asian context, they have been able to talk to the Iranians so that their supplies can go without being attacked through the Strait of Hormuz. So it does seem like Iran, despite the kind of significant military strikes that have happened on Iran, they are able to carry forward. There is somebody in charge who is able to make a call on whose ships should be let go through the Strait of Hormuz. So they seem to be doing pretty okay at this point of time, despite these strikes.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with ASPE's Dr. Rajapillai Rajagopalan about her upcoming report, The Sino-Russian Partnership, Why It Matters for Australian Security and Defence. And Raji, I wonder if we could just go into a little bit more of the history of the relationship between Russia and China. I think it's described now as a partnership without limits, but you really chart a major inversion in terms of who's got the power within that relationship as well.
Absolutely. So there has this partnership has gone through several ups and downs from the 1950s onwards. There were times when they collaborated a great deal. The Russians supplied the Soviets at that point of time, supplied the Chinese with advanced military capabilities. Advanced again, quote unquote, at that point of time. Mm. There was even civil nuclear cooperation that happened between the two countries, but that came to a halt, and then they again picked up sometime in the 90s, 2000s, ups and downs. Again, there are different phases. But I think there has been a significant shift in the last 10 years or so, where now China has emerged as a senior partner. The kind of dynamics between Russia and China have changed today, where China is the senior partner and Russia is playing the role of a junior partner. Whether they acknowledge it or not, that is a reality.
That around in terms of relationships with China.
Exactly. The whole China calls the shots and Russia is playing to their tunes in a sense. Mm. Today, that's why. So even though there are a few items that Russia is still selling to China in terms of, for instance, for all the dual use technologies that come from China to Russia, Russians are supplying with the advanced nuclear propulsion technology, for instance, which go into their nuclear submarines, type 096 nuclear submarines. So there are things that are still taking place at the advanced level in terms of military cooperation, but a lot of it is today reversed, where China has emerged as the supplier and the, like I said, decisive enabler of the Russian military operations. If the Chinese support wasn't there today, I don't think the Russians could have sustained their military operations now having entered its fifth year.
Now, in this report, you argue that the most serious and deepest level of cooperation between the two is likely to be focused on the Indo-Pacific, which might surprise some listeners. Why do you say that?
So the Russians and the Chinese, they have the military forces. One of the major aspects of their partnership is the kind of military exercises that the two countries have engaged in the last two decades, but last one decade in particular, when you look at it, the joint patrols, the kind of joint air exercises, joint naval exercises, all of them, they have gone up in terms of the number, but also in terms of the sophistication, how advanced and complex these exercises have become. That's number one. And the areas they operate in, and areas of operation have mostly been in the Sea of Japan, which is very, very critical. So tomorrow, when you're thinking about a Taiwan Strait scenario, a crisis opening up there, Now, if the Japan wants to get involved, or if Australia wants to come to the aid of Taiwan, I think everyone has to now factor how a Russia-China combined might be a force that they need to start thinking about in terms of their defense planning, in a sense. Mm. Or even Japan on its own dealing with the East China Sea or the Senkaku Islands, the territorial dispute with China. Again, they have to think about not just China as a factor that they need to include in their military planning, but they actually need to think about what Russia-China combined might look like and how that complicates their defense planning. So these are the kind of complications. And of course, South China Sea is another area there this could play out. And all of the democratic countries who want to come to the aid of Philippines, for instance, or Vietnam, which has been faced with regular harassment from the Chinese maritime militia, sometimes the Coast Guard and other actors in China's maritime toolkit. Today, they have to be, everyone remains concerned as to how they can help Vietnam or Philippines. But what does that mean in terms of how China and Russia are going to be complicating that maritime security front? So there are complications that Russia and China have introduced. I'm not saying that this is a partnership that has no problems. There are lots of problems, and it may not even last beyond 10, 15 years. But the fact is that while they last, they can create a lot of damage, lot of damage between now and that 15-year time frame that you're looking at, or even a 10-year time frame. They can create huge amount of damage in terms of alliance partnerships, in terms of our military planning, the defense planning, our defense force preparedness, whole range of things. They can introduce complications.
And just finally, Raji, the time where there's lots of discussion about amongst middle Western powers like Canada and Australia about forging a new path due to America's proven unreliability. In this report, you push back against that to some extent, although also say that developing independent partnerships is important. Could you just chart out your thoughts on that subject?
Absolutely. So I do talk about unilateral partnerships or the partnerships among like-minded countries as an option that Australia needs to pursue. But that is not to suggest that US can be dispensed with. We need the US, because even if you look at in pure material terms, pure numbers, the economic power or the military power of the next 4 or 5 countries put together does not match China. So even if Australia, India, Japan, France, Canada, you can bring them all together, but even then the numbers don't add up. Mm. We don't have that heft. So the middle powers are called middle powers for a reason. They don't, and also they don't have that kind of an influence to shape. Of course, we shouldn't give up on upholding the liberal international order, which has been led by the US. And the US, they have not really pulled out of the Indo-Pacific. They haven't done any of that, but they have created uncertainty in the minds of, you know, all the policymakers in this part of the world. So we still need to see how we can get the US, how do we incentivize the US to stay engaged in this part of the world? I think they have an incentive. The China factor will continue to be a strong enough factor for the US to stay engaged in this part of the world. And I think that's something. So the US alliance, US partnership is absolutely important. But at the same time, we also want to look at a scenario where maybe a decade from now, the US is either unwilling or incapable of engaging in the way that it has done so far, and in which case we need to have some backups in place. And I think that those backups have been developing in the last several years, where many of the Asian major powers have been coming together and to talk about there are thematic issues, supply chain initiative, but there are also a broader strategic and defense-oriented groupings that have come about. The Quad is the most popular one, but there are several other ones that are much more, again, going to be impactful in the coming years.
Raji Pillai Rajagopalan, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what you've just heard is a bit of a sneak peek into the report that Raji and the ASPE are releasing tomorrow. The title of the report is The Sino-Russian Partnership, Why It Matters for Australian Security and Defence. And on Sunday Extra, it's 25 minutes past 7.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.